The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. So on this episode, we have what will probably be the final Twitter space of the year. Lots of interesting discussions were had. We started off with pitching, more Walker Buehler reaction, and just our general vibe on what the rotation will be. And then we got into a lot of Teoscar versus Bregman debates and just a lot of random stuff that we could do with the lineup. So the audio will definitely be better for this space than the last one. We did get some complaints. We had some glitches, but just know that when we do those, it's all done through our smartphones, not our normal equipment. We don't have external microphones. So the audio is never going to be pristine when we do the spaces. So this will definitely be the last one that we do for the winter. And then it'll be normal shows from here out. But we, other than the minor complaints from last week, we don't get a ton of feedback on how people really feel about these. So be sure to give that, and then we'll take a look at what we may do, in terms of next winter. So anyway, we'll get on with this one. Oh, and one last disclaimer: there was some adult language, some F-bombs, not so much in the beginning, but in the middle and second half. So if you have kids in the car or you're listening at work, headphones might be necessary for this one, depending on your environment. So you decide. But again, here we go. Everyone enjoy it. And we'll again be back with the normal crew for your Monday morning drop on the next episode.
We are off and running. Dougie is like, he's got a heart on and wants to talk some Bregman, but let's get started on pitching while the crowd builds up here. We'll lead off with you, Jim. Thoughts on the Buehler signing?
So I love the signing. Buehler can be a front of the rotation guy. He has been, when he's healthy. You could talk a 15 game winner very easily, with a respectable ERA. I kind of wish they did, get him for maybe a 2 or 3 year deal, or at least have a club option in there. I feel like the 1 year deal, and I know everybody's going to say, I'm always finding the negative and everything, but I would have liked to see a 2 or 3 year deal. Cause at the end of the day, they still haven't spent any money. They just replaced the money with Pivetta, which is fine. I'd rather have Buehler than Pivetta. So, at the end of the day, I love the move. I mean, having Crochet and him at the front of the end of the rotation, as a 1-2 is going to be really good. It puts Houck probably at number 3, maybe Bayo 4 and Giolito 5. And this is good because now Houck is going to face other number 3s. Bayo can face other number 4s. So you have a pitching advantage essentially over most teams, in baseball. So very happy with it. Just wish that they had gotten a longer deal.
My wish list, as far as the two pitchers, was Max Fried and Walker Buehler, and we ended up with Crochet and Buehler. So I'm still pretty happy with how this went. And I know Buehler didn't have a great year, for the most part. He flipped the switch in October. I think he probably figured it out. I think it's perfectly reasonable that he will have a much better 2025. And if he just gives me what Michael Wacha gave us in 2022, minus the injuries, I'll be thrilled with that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I think, you know, he's far enough removed now from his surgery that he'll be effective, because it takes a good year and a half, really, for these guys to be, you know, really getting their act together and becoming, you know, positive again and, you know, really getting through with their abilities. So I think he's at that stage now where, you know, he should have a really good year. I know it's a pillow contract. He's probably going to re-enter next year. Look, I also know that they can give him a qualifying offer at the end of the year too, to try to keep him around. But, you know, I'm happy with it. Just wish it was a longer deal. That's all. That's the only negative.
Before Charlie or Doug jumps in, I just want to be clear. According to reports, he was only willing to sign a 1-year deal. So that was the Buehler camp that mandated that. And the Red Sox wanted a multi-year deal. It would have happened faster, I think, you know, if the Red Sox would have just appeased him on the 1-year deal sooner.
Yeah, no, listen, I agree. You know, I saw that same report. You know, it's unfortunate. It would have been good if they could have maybe, you know, had a club option or something that he might have, you know, been open to, or a mutual option, you know, maybe for, you know, $25 million or $28 million or whatever. I mean, I get his point. He's going to want to have a really good year and then re-enter the market again. And I can't blame him for that. But it's just the point I'm really getting at is that at the end of 25, you're going to be losing him. You're going to be losing Giolito, and you're back to square one again, needing two starters. So I would just like to see this pattern end for a while.
Hey guys, happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Charlie.
Yeah, I would have liked, he was only going to sign a 1-year deal. I still thought he was a probably 1A or 2 target for them to get. Kind of saw it with Chris Sale this year, the year after Tommy John. It's the only way you see it. He really started peaking September into October. I think it's a good calculated risk. It's better than most of the reclamation projects they've brought in over the last 5 years. I think he's really solid. Unfortunately, I think we'd lose him in a year if he has a great season. But no complaints about him at all. None whatsoever.
Doug, thoughts on Buehler?
No, I really like the signing. My only thing was I was worried he was going to be the signing in terms of pitching.
Yeah.
But to get Garrett Crochet and Walker Buehler, that was fine with me. I just really wanted an ace. And so I was just worried that if we signed just one, they were going to say, oh, Walker Buehler, he's the ace of the staff. That kind of made me nervous. But, you know, getting Crochet and then you sign a Walker Buehler, I think that's a great signing by Boston.
I do too.
And I'm a big Garrett Crochet guy. That was my number one target. Him and Blake Snell wanted one of those two. So to land both of those guys, you know, Crochet and Buehler, I think that's a great, great start. We'll obviously talk about the lineup after. But in terms of that, to add Chapman to that, I think they've done a pretty good job bolstering this, you know, this pitching staff as a whole.
The Chapman thing, you know,
go ahead.
I like the lefty. It's just the walks really concern me, especially at Fenway Park. That would be my biggest concern with him. I think I'd feel a lot better if we went out and got a closer and moved everybody down an inning, maybe. I'd probably feel a little bit better about him. Him and just pressure situations and his inability at time to throw strikes, just a concern. But again, he's bringing gas. He's definitely an upgrade over Bernardino. From that perspective, he can get lefties and righties out. To me, the concern with him, again, just control. If you could get like a Scott or something and move everybody down, that would probably be the best way, I think. And then you're looking at something pretty solid back there.
I also have I have a lot of faith in Andrew Bailey too. So I think he'll get that under control a little bit more, but Chapman is what he is. He'll walk some guys. And I just live with that. You know, a guy throws 100 miles an hour. We need a power lefty in the bullpen. And I don't know if you're going to find anyone really better in terms of a power lefty other than Tanner Scott, who's going to command 4 or 5 around maybe AAV of $20 million. So, you know, for right now, I like what they've done so far with the pitching side.
Oh, I do too. I still think
the Red Sox
go get Tanner Scott, though. I mean, it's, you're the Red Sox. Let's stop pretending we're not the Red Sox and, you know, shopping at Dollar General, and let's just go out and get the pieces that you need. where every year you're not in a wash, rinse, dry, repeat cycle.
Well, that's what I was saying. That's what I was saying, Charlie, with the rotation. You know, it's kind of like
next year again.
Yeah, you're going to need two guys next year, and then you're going to need some bullpen pieces too, because Hendricks is a 1 year deal now, and then Chapman would be, and so forth. So I like the makeup of the guys that are coming out of that bullpen, and of course Chapman is replacing your Jolies Rodriguez, your Bernardino, so you are getting that power lefty. I'm pleased with that. I don't like the guy. I like the move though. Cause he's a train wreck himself personally, but professionally he's
fine.
Yeah. But you know, professionally he's fine. Personally, he's not. Yep. So I'm, you know, I agree with Doug. I like everything that they've done so far. We can split hairs on, Sandoval. I wouldn't have wasted the money on him. I would have tried to grab, you know, somebody else instead of spending that money. But, you know, it is what it is.
The Hendricks thing scares me. I don't know if I want him back there as the closer. It gives me flashbacks of 03. Guy who tried to come back. They should give him all credit in the world for trying to come back, but he couldn't, had to shut down. I'd like to see something a lot more solid back there. If you're trying to be a legitimate contender, which I think they're trying to be somewhat of a contender. I don't know how legitimate it is when you're trying to, like, piecemeal everything. But you need a legitimate closer back there.
I still think Justin Slayton's going to be the closer.
Yeah, I do too. But I'd still like, if you can get Tanner Scott though, I mean, let's just go get the guy, and then, you know, you can do like a Wetland Rivera thing for a few years and let Slayton grow into the role.
I really don't think the back end of the bullpen really needs that much work. You still have Whitlock coming back. He'll be in the pen. You have Hendricks, you have Slayton, you have Chapman. Well, I mean, I think the bullpen, and if you sign it, you know, we right now, Cutter Crawford looks like he could be in the pen as well. So I'm content with the pitching rotation and the staff right now as a whole. Tanner Scott, yeah, it'd be nice, but we already have two lefties in the pen. Plus, we have Bernardino still there as well, so technically it would be three. So
we have four, too, because Murphy's coming back.
So I don't think they're in on Tanner Scott. I would like a Jeff Hoffman. I would like another right-handed reliever in the back end of the pen. So
I like Kirby Yates, too, but I think he's going back to the Rangers.
Like Jeff Hoffman or Kirby Yates would be fine, but like I don't think they're going to add too much more resources into the bullpen, in my opinion.
Chris is going to the Rangers, too.
But wait, I like our bullpen right now.
Few things real quick. So, number one, that Austin Adams kid we signed to a minor league deal pitched pretty well for Oakland last year. So he's just someone to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he'll make it.
Secondly, I'm not a Chapman guy, and I don't know if he's ever going to win me over in a year, but his initial comments to the media were really good. He says he's got no expectations on how he's utilized. He's open-minded to anything, and he just wants to help the team win. So that's a good start. Anyway, we'll see what happens when he's, you know, having the worst May of his life for the first week or two and see how that goes. Thirdly, I don't know who the closer is going to be, but I think it will be clear by the end of spring training, and there will be a general consensus on who that is. Somebody will set themselves apart. Could be Whitlock, could be Slayton, could be Hendricks, but I think it'll be pretty clear before opening day.
Yeah. I agree. And I just think Clayton's going to win that in spring training. That's just my opinion. I know, and I don't think Hendricks is going to be, you know, one of those. He's not going to like be a Debbie Downer if he doesn't get the job either. I think Hendricks is just going to try and do what he can to help the team. And I think, just my opinion, I think Slayton's going to probably win that job. And I wouldn't, you know, it just wouldn't shock me.
Oh, that to me, that's the best case scenario, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we need a young closer that's come up through the system. We haven't had one since Papelbon, if memory serves me right. And we need someone that we can have for a number of years instead of, again, going out every year and trying to find the next, you know, shiny coin for one season. I'd like to see them build some term with a lot of the different, you know, positions on this 26-man roster, because I the turnover just drives me nuts. And that's, you know, that's the reason why I was just a little bit disappointed on the Buehler length of contract.
Agreed.
I'd rather have Buehler for a year than not have him, though. And that's
besides the point. Oh, absolutely. You know, there's no question.
Pitches, you know, and plus, next year's free agent class is really good with pitching with Cease King and Zach Allen. So I think next year you could see them maybe make a move for a starter. I just never thought that Corbin Burnes was a Craig Breslow type of guy, especially with his, you know, K per nine. It's kind of decreasing.
Yep.
The underlying metrics were also decreasing.
Yeah,
and I just don't think that's a move that I think Breslow could have the backing of ownership on that, and I still don't think that's the type of guy that Breslow would go out and give $28 to $32 million a year for. That's just my opinion.
My thing is that I wasn't, you know, I wanted a starter. If they got Burns, hell, you know what? They've got the money. They could get him. He wasn't my first choice, and I don't think I would even want to lock a 7 or 8 year deal for Burns. That scares me too, only because if the Red Sox become the Red Sox again and start spending money, I just don't want them being handcuffed and not doing other moves. And that's one of the things when the Soto deal started getting and escalating, when people were like, it's in the 600 millions now. Now it's in the 700 millions. I even was starting to get a little knock-kneed too, because I'm like, I don't want them spending this money and then nothing else happens.
I'll tell you guys, when we signed Sandoval last Friday, that was like the darkest day of my winter, because I thought we're done.
Yep.
We're absolutely done, because everybody you have right now outside of Buehler, you could still fill five spots in the rotation, and every single one of those guys, including Giolito, if he reaches 140 innings, is controllable through 2026. So I thought, we're done. We're just, this is it. It's that we just got catfished by Kennedy again.
Yep.
And so the Buehler thing really, you know, really kind of brightened, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm just glad they did something. And, you know, I've had a little bit of clarity, you know, in the last handful of days. You look at Bloom, those last, how long was he here? 4 years. Never got a homegrown developed pitcher through the minors and onto the major league roster. And arguably Breslow in a year, and not even a year, like his first 6 or 8 months, he at least got Fitz and Priester, who are just about, you know, major league ready. Fitz did make his debut, and Priester's had a little bit of time, but Breslow's done way more for pitching at this point. And he made a couple of serious moves. So.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing that surprised me, Terry, about Bloom coming from Tampa. I was going through with Jim one day, the amount of pitching that Tampa drafts compared to what Bloom drafted when he was here. Like, never any high picks on pitching. Never.
Bloom was also never the guy in Tampa.
No, I know that, but he still grew up in that environment. You would think that's – you brought him here to be Tampa, and he didn't do anything like – they didn't Tampa. They didn't draft Umps. He just didn't do it.
He was the anti-Tampa when he was here.
It was the exact opposite.
He didn't even have anybody in the first 15 rounds or so for pitching.
Yeah,
it was really bad.
I went back. I think it was like in like the same time frame. Like, I think it was like Tampa was like 30 something Umps, and like Bloom was like 7.
Yeah,
we did catch a break though in the 21 drafts. I think they were gonna take, if he was there, they were gonna take a pitcher, and we kind of dodged the bullet of Jack Leiter. So I think if Leiter was there at 4, I think he would have taken him over Mayer. But
yeah,
so I think we dodged a bullet there. Again, I'm not a Bloom guy, but I will give him credit for replenishing the farm system and making that trade for Crochet. That was a lot of it had to do with Heim. So I will give him his credit for that. I just never thought he should be a, you know, an executive of baseball ops. But, you know,
he would have been a good GM or a side piece.
I mean, I think he's good at scouting. I think that's where his strengths are. Yep. And I just never wanted him as the president of baseball operations. But
I still think that all comes down, Doug, to if the owner's going to open up the wallet. I think a lot of guys become a lot better when they can spend money.
They did let him open up the wallet. He signed Yoshida to $90 million.
Yeah, that's in baseball today, though, that's not really.
I understand that, but he also spent 16 on Jansen and 8 on Martin. So
he also spent double on Yoshida than anybody else offered, too.
So it's like one of those things. It's just like, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, it's just like, if we were kind of in a rebuild or not win now, why is he spending $24 million on backing in the arms in the bullpen? So,
well, I agree, but they have to do something as well, because otherwise, it's, you know, the ownership group takes a bigger beating than they're normally taking. So sometimes it's a lot of shit they do there, unfortunately, is more PR related than it is winning on the field.
Like, yes, everyone said he wasn't allowed to spend the money, but he also gave out 140 to Trevor Story, so he was spending money. Like,
well, not really. He saved them 140 because that was their way to not pay Bogarts.
But at the time, okay, so I don't want to get into the Bogaerts discussion, but would you rather have paid him for what he got from San Diego? I don't think anybody here would want to do that.
That's not what I'm saying, though, but if they did their job, they would have had him a year earlier at like 150.
Right, yeah.
Possibly.
I've got a couple of things.
You don't know.
Real quick, though, 2022, we were over the luxury tax, and we had a chance to get under it at the deadline, and Bloom didn't do it.
That's the mistake he ever made here. That was his biggest mistake, was that 22 trade deadline.
Yeah, that's
the
biggest mistake. And then
2023, he decided to put it all into the bullpen and not the rotation, and we were close to the deadline, but not the threshold, rather.
No,
but not...
that was his biggest mistake he made.
Yeah.
So those were all Bloom moves, I think, that weren't fundamentally sound, and, you know, and we paid the price for it.
He also didn't want to make the deal that kind of, like, Breslow just made. He would have never traded for Garrett Crochet. Like... You know, and so that's the thing with Breslow. He's
I don't think so. Right? I don't think so either.
That's
We've been begging for a move like this for Garrett Crochet, and gave it to us. Yeah, the Garrett Crochet deal was a Dave Dombrowski move as much as anything, because that's a move Dombrowski makes all day long.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that trade. I don't think I spoke on it last time you guys were here, but I absolutely love that trade. When that trade, that passing bomb tweeted, I went crazy. Like, it was just, it was.
They just need to extend them now. They got to extend them.
They're not going to, here's the thing, though. They're not going to give up Kyle Teal and Braden Montgomery without extending them. That'll get done. It's just a matter of when it'll get done.
Can't play games with the closer he gets to free agency.
Full confidence that happens.
Yeah, I don't have full confidence in anything this organization does.
Put a value on him. He's only pitched for one full season as a starter, and only really half a season.
The way the White Sox managing him,
they don't want to get him.
The way I look at it, Terry, is the fact is if you throw enough money at him, he doesn't have to be one of the top five or top 10 guys. But if you throw enough money at him, I think you get it done. So I would probably have like a graduated system in there where maybe it's, you know, the first couple years, or if you want to buy out a couple of it, the last 2 years, depending when they do this, maybe it starts at 15 and then continues on to 20, 25. I think the AAV somewhere around 27, because he's going to be less than some of the other guys, your top tier pitchers, but enough that it's going to get the job done and he's going to be content.
Yeah, I think you got to go 5 years on it and then two option years to get it to 7.
Yeah,
that's exactly how I did it. I had 110 over 5 years guaranteed, and then I tacked on two really expensive option years to hopefully entice them into it. It was either 30 or 35 million.
Yep.
So the whole thing maxed out at 180.
Yeah, I think that's the magic number between 180 and 200.
That's
180. My guess would be around a 7 years, around 250, 210, 205, 210.
I just think if you go over two and he just keeps getting hurt all the time, we're just going to feel so dumb. That's part of the risk.
He had one injury.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, I think it'll probably be fine.
I have no problem with the 210 number either.
I think the max. I think the max
be options. So it's.
I think what they offer. I think what they offered Max Fried is probably a really good comp.
Yeah, 7-2-18.
Better than Max Fried right now. Like, you can't tell me going to the season, would you feel better about having Garrett Crochet or Max Fried? I'd much rather have Garrett Crochet. So not even.
Well, let's put it this way. I think Crochet's ceiling is higher, but you got to remember too, he's only had one really
season,
and not only that, you know, it's. I'd like to see a little bit more. I mean, there's a problem there with, like, if you haven't pitched the entire season without extending him, the value of the price is going to go up. If you do it sooner, the value and the price is going to be a little bit lower. So, you know, they've got to feel that out. But, you know, he's no sure thing yet. I'd like to see another season. But, again, I'm happy with the move. Don't get me wrong. But, again, it's not like you traded for Chris Sale, who already was a starter for 3 or 4 seasons and had the track record. So it's just the track record's just not there yet.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think the contract is done in spring training. I'd actually be shocked if it's not done in spring training.
Well, yeah, it has to, because people are going to pick him to win the Cy Young. That will be a trendy pick, especially He led all of MLB last year in strikeout per nine. Yeah. Yep. So you can't just not sign him, let him win a Cy Young, because if that happens, he's not going to sign anything next week.
I've been on that from day one. You have to do it now.
If he finishes 2025 with 15 plus wins, an ERA under 3.5, and does 180 innings, his price just went up to 30 a year to start.
At least, it'd
probably be higher than that because of his age.
That's why I think I agree with Doug on that point. I would definitely make sure it gets done in spring training. You know, just make sure he's doing good, he's healthy, and then just whack him with a contract.
Yeah, you can't take the chance because the number's only going to go up.
He had a WAR.
How many pitchers hit the free agent market at 27? Not many.
He had a WAR of 4.1 in half a season last year.
Yeah. Like, on a shitty team.
I mean, like I said, like he was on. If he has pitched the rest of the entire season, he would be, on Tariq Skubal level. Like this is.
Yeah, it's like Skubal was actually 2 years ago. It's very, very close.
This was the guy, like in the offseason, I honestly think that probably should. I actually believe that he was their number one target all along. To be completely honest,
I do too.
So
yeah,
you know, and plus, like I was talking about earlier with this, now it allows you with the payroll flexibility. Now you can go out and give one of those contracts out to one of the position players. So I think that was Breslow's idea all along, and I don't think he would go into trading Kyle Teal and Braden Montgomery with Wekelman Gonzalez if he didn't have an extension or had an idea an extension was going to get done.
No, I mean, you obviously have to go into that planning that.
Well, that would be a stupid move, but then again, you did trade Chris Sale for.
But can we? All right, can we? Was there anybody that was upset about that trade? Though?
Yes.
Like, hindsight, yes.
Yeah.
Jim, sure. Jim, defend me here.
But like Vaughn, but like yeah. I don't think I'm not saying what you got back was any good, but I don't think any Red Sox fan. I didn't hear anybody.
Oh, I did. I hammered.
Saying,
it.
Oh, we shouldn't trade. Because, like, my opinion is if Chris Sale's here, he probably would have got hurt something ridiculous.
I hammer it.
Can't say that, though.
Well, that's just the way it was. That's the
How come he didn't get hurt in Atlanta? So, I mean, Doug, you can't say that. I mean, he was still a Red Sox. You'd automatically be hurt.
He's going to not be healthy in Boston.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I would have liked one more season just to be a little bit more confident.
Again, then you guys are in the minority because everybody couldn't wait to get Chris Sale out of Boston. So, okay.
Yeah, no, I wanted him. I didn't want him to leave. I thought it was you're going.
I would have drove him
so
to
here,
the
so, so so here's the here's the bigger issue.
Well, if he was Charlie, there last year, you missed the playoffs, Doug. So.
Charlie, I'm going to take your words and I'm going to out of your mouth. Here's the reality about the Chris Sale thing. I think a lot of people were happy he was gone because they were just tired of the nonsense. The bigger issue is you paid him – this is Charlie's words, not mine. You paid him $23 million to pitch for Atlanta. That's where the problem became.
Yep.
Well, I mean, we can't go back and reverse the trade.
Like no, said, you can't. No, you can't. You know, but the reality is that instead of just, Atlanta taking on the salary, you didn't get the salary dump. So, Vaughn Grisham cost you $23 million to be on this team last year. And, you paid to have Chris Sale there. So that's the bigger sting. And plus, he had a good year, obviously. I mean,
it really didn't affect me. It didn't sting me either way. Just because, like I said, maybe he would have been great here. Maybe he wouldn't have been here. But I feel like at that point, sometimes it's best to move on from both sides, and I think Sale was ready to move on. I think Boston was ready to move on, and, good for Chris Sale. He had a great year last year, but at the end of the day, I think it was probably beneficial for both sides to probably split ways at that point.
I agree with Doug on most of this. Hang on, guys. I have to read you this tweet. This came out from Mark Feinstein. I'm reading it off that Boston Sports Gordo guy.
Yeah, I just
listen
to
this. It's a lot to unpack, okay? The Red Sox targeted Luis Castillo before signing Walker Buehler, but Seattle wanted Tristan Casas back in a trade, which the Red Sox were unwilling to do unless Seattle took back Masataka Yoshida and the full $55.8 million remaining on his deal. Nothing about this is good. I wouldn't have just signed Buehler for 1 year over Castillo. I'm just not a huge Castillo guy.
First of all, that's the report I heard that said they wanted Casas. Every report I heard is they didn't want him.
Exactly. We've heard so far is the opposite. I saw a report saying that Casas just didn't profile well at whatever field they are, Safeco.
Yeah, that place is brutal for him.
But also just... could come out from Seattle's side just saying, you know, oh, we didn't want him, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, well, yeah, well, all these teams do that. I mean, nobody here last year once heard that White Sox wanted Mayer and Anthony for fucking Crochet, and then all of a sudden they make the trade for him, and now they're like, oh, you know, we got to build up Breslow here, so let's make it look like he won the trade compared to what we would have given up last year.
No, that's a move I'm glad Breslow didn't make. I don't want to. I'm not a Costas guy. I'm not a Costas guy. I'm not giving him away for free.
Yeah. Well, remember the original report. If you recall, the original reports in the offseason was that the Crochet deal was going to center around Abreu, yeah. And it's like it's going to be a lot more than that.
That was the dumbest shit ever, too.
That would have been an awful trade if Boston ever did that. I'm glad Breslow. I'm glad he probably laughed at that one. That would be an insane trade if he made that deal.
Well, let's get into this because I mean, the frustrating thing for me is we need to get balanced on the right side. And Costas, he's a massive wild card compared to all the other prospects and lefties we currently have, and that's how you get the guys we're trying to make room for. So now you're stuck with Costas, so your infield's jammed, and Doug's going to get into some Bregman talk.
Your infield won't be jammed if you do it the correct way, which I will propose.
All right,
let's hear it.
So, if you want to keep Devers at third base, it's, you know, whatever. I know everybody doesn't really want to do that, but it seems like we have no choice at this point. So I know.
Why don't you have a choice, if you don't mind me asking?
What's that?
Why don't you have a choice, Doug?
Because you don't want to. I mean, listen. If it was up to me, I'd be moving him off third base right now.
If I'm paying your check,
I understand
your
that.
Check, you're moving.
I
if
get
I need
it.
You to
I do understand that, but it, you know, it's a fragile situation. Clearly, it's not like I said. It has nothing to do with me. If it was me, I would do it.
Yes, yeah. I don't think it's fragile. But so my go ahead, point continue.
Is, so Devers isn't going to move off third. You sign Alex Bregman. You put him at second base for the year to see how it goes. If Devers now has a bad 24 or 25. You could readjust it next year and then say, listen, Rafi, we gave you the year. We gave you the program that we're not very happy with it. So we're going to make the switch now. Anyway, I'll worry about 2026 in 2026. For 2025, you want to sign a right-handed bat to balance the lineup. You want to improve your infield defense. And you also need a clubhouse leader and an adult in that clubhouse. Alex Bregman checks every single box you could possibly check off. He's a winner. He's a clubhouse guy. He'd be the instant leader on this team. And here in year of 2025, if everybody wants to win and compete like they all say they do, if you're Red Sox fans, Alex Bregman will make your team better in 2025.
Am I getting them for 3 years?
You're never going to get – no, there's not a team that's going to get Alex Bregman for 3 years. It's going to be six or seven.
The longer he
and
stays
I
out
say,
there, the Red Sox are at five and they're not going up.
I think at some point they're going to have to meet in the middle of six.
Nah, they're not going up.
I disagree.
I think he's a horrendous fit. Unless you bring him here to play third on a 5-year deal, I don't want him.
He okay, so here's my point though. Everybody wants balance in the lineup. So who do you want?
All right, let me throw this in there. I'm a big Christian Campbell guy, and I don't think it's the most far-fetched take ever that he could have a better year than Alex Bregman.
But Christian Campbell, you don't know what you don't. We have no idea if he can play at the big league level yet.
Well, I'm watching Bregman's numbers go down every year, so I'm not sure how much longer he's going to be able to play in the big leagues either.
Here's where I get some confidence here. Hang on a second. So, Peter Faxe does not get enough credit, okay? He's been the pitching coach the entire time Jaron Duran's been up. Mm-hmm. He basically helped put the finishing touches on Duran. Say what you want about Rafael last year, but he was serviceable. And, you know, I think he got it done pretty good.
He played three positions months. Trying to learn the big leagues. I mean, come on, how many people?
We have zero thump. You have to replace O'Neill's. I mean, not replace O'Neill's 30 home runs. Because I hate
why can't I put Teoscar in left?
So Doug, why not?
No room. We have five outfielders. Anthony is going to be playing at some point.
We have 75 middle infielders.
What about Arenado?
No.
No.
Why not?
I don't think you can do it if you're keeping Costas.
I'd be infuriated if we traded for Nolan Arenado.
I want Arenado. I just don't.
What if you were able to work out a deal? What if you were able to work out a deal that got Arenado on the team and Yoshida off of it?
I highly doubt that they're going to take back salary when they're trying to dump salary.
Teams do it. Bad contract for bad contract.
They're trying to trade Arenado for Yoshida has 3 years left. They don't want the money back. They said they'd eat money to get rid of it. They're not going to take another contract on.
They would only save about $7 million if they swap the contract.
Yeah, unless you pay half of Yoshida's, you pay everybody else to leave, so you might as well pay his too.
So we're going to pay Yoshida to leave and then pay for a third baseman who has an OPS of less than 720 last year?
Well, I'm not disagreeing. That's the other thing. I don't think that's who he is, though.
How was Vaughn Grisham's OPS this last year?
What does that have to do with Nolan Arenado?
Because you had to pay $23 million for Chris Sale to be on the Braves, so you could certainly wind up eating some of that money and not being a problem.
So you're going to put Nolan Arenado in third, and you're going to move Devers to DH, which, again, I'm cool with moving Devers to DH. That's what I'd like to do. I don't think they're going to do it. That's a story for another day.
That's what they want.
Is what I would do. Yeah, like what Charlie said, the compromise is first base.
We don't know if he can play first base. We have no idea if he can play first
base.
I think he can.
Maybe he can, but we don't know if he can.
I got a better one.
Hanley Ramirez played
exactly.
It too.
Exactly. Hanley Ramirez.
Kevin Youkilis.
And everyone said Mike Napoli was going to be terrible, and he was Scoops McGee
I understand, have we ever seen Rafi pick a ball at first base? I've never seen it.
He can play first.
It doesn't matter.
It's not MLB.
It doesn't matter because you had Hanley Ramirez who said he didn't want
to
bend down.
Ramirez. You can't compare.
It doesn't matter. But you're saying it can't happen. And what I'm trying to explain
it's
to you
not going
is
to happen.
If you've got that crystal ball, give me the lottery numbers because that's what I'm more interested in.
So then you're going to move Devers to first base and trade Costas for peanuts? That doesn't sound intelligent. They're not going to do that.
Listen, you know what? I think all along they were trying to move Casas so they could do something like that with flexibility. But no one wanted Casas because he's a nobody wanted Casas because he's a fucking idiot.
Well, Seattle just said they wanted him. If you move Casas,
someone
leaking it for the whole offseason. It was like they.
Anyways, okay. Casas. Point is, we're going to move Casas for now. Their rotation's full. They're not trading Casas first.
Oh, it's over now. It's irrelevant.
So Casas
because they because
first baseman. So you're not moving Devers the first base. Is what I'm trying to say. It's not happening.
This is why I'm saying he could be the DH. That's what they should do. My bigger concern with Devers is not even the defense. It's the fact that he had a shoulder injury this year. And I don't want to see that escalate to a problem where he's out of the lineup. Because now you're going to have him out for 2 weeks and he's going to rehab. And you're going to be losing that bat. That bat's more important than his defense is.
Right.
So I would make sure that he's in that game, 150, 155 games. They should really DH him.
He should, but that's not going to happen. I'd rather see him. I don't want him near first base. So you're either going to leave him at third or he's going to be the DH. I don't want him at first base.
Yeah, I think he can play first, no problem.
Maybe he could, but I want him DHing. That's what I want.
You know,
I don't want.
Yeah, but they're not going to pay a 28-year-old. They're not going to pay him $30 million change to DH for the next 10 years.
The Red Sox did not pay him for his glove. They gave him because of his bat. They don't care about his glove at third base,
dude. Every decision they make there, Doug, is based on finances. What are you talking about? They're not going to let him
for $30 million. When they gave him this contract, they were expecting to be a Gold Glove caliber third baseman. I don't think that's why.
That's not what we said. But serviceable. Guy's in his 20s.
I'll be honest. I don't think Devers last year was as bad at third base as everyone is saying, too. I don't think he was that bad.
Horrible.
Like he made the
that's what.
Oh, he was terrible.
It was mostly in the first half, though. And Cora was quick to defend the metrics on Devers at the winter meetings. I'll say this. I'm not a Bregman guy, but if it happens, I'll tolerate it.
I just don't understand this fan base. They always want to spend, and we find guys that fit, and I don't want that guy.
He's going to play third, Doug. I'm not paying a guy that hasn't played middle infield in 10 years since he left college.
He played second base. Like, he had hit a couple innings at second base last year.
Oh, boy, Jesus.
A couple innings.
Totally.
Well, it's more innings than Devers at first base. You want to move him there.
The guy, it's a corner infield spot. It happens quite regularly in baseball.
This is not a popular take. And that's just another day
it's just like the Phillies moving Bryce Harper from the outfield to first base. Did they have a lot of issues with that?
Not really.
Because his elbow was messed up.
That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, and you also have Devers with a bad shoulder.
I'm not saying that I don't want to move him off third. I'm saying I want him to DH. If he's not going to DH, then I don't want him at first base because I have no idea if he's going to be good there or not. So if that's the case,
but you'd rather keep him at third base with the chances of him hurting his shoulder even more.
So then if you do that, what are you doing with Casas? They're not trading Casas. So what are we talking about?
So this is what I would do. Okay. I would sign Teoscar. I would DFA. I don't have the 40 man up in front of me, but I'd get rid of someone. You get rid of Romy Gonzalez or someone. I'd start Teoscar in the outfield until Anthony is ready. By that point, you'll have had a chance to at least look at Yoshida. Is he back? Is he putting the ball in play? You know, is he hitting for extra bases?
Another guy rehabbing from shoulder surgery.
So what are you going
to do? Just for completion's sakes, Devers led the league in errors at third base in 2024.
That's fine. I'm just saying, like I said, I'm
mostly in the first half.
Baseball cards the whole season. They don't break it down.
Yeah.
If we can,
he's led in errors 7 years.
So can I? I'm saying this. They're not going to do it. I'm not saying I wouldn't. They're not going to. So my whole point is, you want to say, Bregman, we want to see Bregman play second. He's played second. I've seen him play second. I haven't seen Devers play first. My whole point is,
play four innings at second.
All I'm saying is, if you want to move Devers off third, that's fine. But it's the DH, not first base. DH. That's all I'm saying.
I'm putting Teoscar at DH. If Anthony comes up, I'm DFAing Yoshida. If I can't trade him, if he doesn't bounce back from the surgery, then I'm taking the L.
Why not just DFA? Why don't you just DFA Yoshida now and make Devers a DH?
They're not going to pay They're not going to pay 3 years and $54 million to go hit somewhere else.
They did with Ruznik Castillo.
I was just going to say, DFA Ruznik Castillo.
Ruznik Castillo never counted against the payroll.
Panda got cut
3 years early.
I don't care if it counts against the luxury tax or not. They're still paying with real money. It's not monopoly money.
I'm just saying Yoshida. I don't think, like, Yoshida, too, if has a full year, he was hurt last year, too. I think Yoshida could probably give you 15 home runs. So they're not going to just...
It's not enough out of the DH spot.
I understand that, but they're not going to do that. All I'm saying is they're not going.
You don't know that. You don't know that. Right, again, give me lottery. Give me lottery numbers.
Okay.
They did it to Pablo Sandoval.
And Pablo Sandoval is also a unmotivated asshole that never wanted to even be here.
There's a lot of money that there's a lot of money that this team gave out that was wasted contracts.
$82 million in pitchers that haven't pitched.
If this
over
was
the last
6 years
years
ago, sure, I could see that. But this you know, era of John Henry, I can't imagine him saying, "Yeah, just get rid of him."
Julio Lugo and Edgar Renteria and David Price and Adrian Gonzalez. And I mean, it just goes the players go on and on.
You don't have to go that they far back. You can look at all the reclamation project pitchers that they've signed for 2 years, knowing they're eating the entire first year, including this year.
Well, you know what?
Sandoval.
You could
$82 million since 2020.
Exactly. And you could find someone to trade Yoshida for.
Even if you might have attached Yoshida, though, let's say you did that, right? So
you might have to attach a prospect to it if you try to move him. But
you live in that world. They DFA Yoshida. You signed Teoscar, right? Mm-hmm. You say you want to put Teoscar at DH, correct?
That's what Terry said.
Okay,
that's what Terry said.
So you would still have it with Roman Anthony. So you still have the logjam in outfield with Rafaela, Roman Anthony potentially coming up. Rafaela, Abreu, and Duran.
See, I think Rafaela is the super utility guy. I think Rafaela could play 5 games a week at 5 different positions. And everybody gets a day off. I think he is super beneficial at that, where you can use him at all 3 outfield positions. Well, you wouldn't have to use him at left, obviously.
I don't think Rafaela's defense was that great at shortstop last year.
Well, he's a rookie coming up, trying to learn the.
Yeah, but like I said on the last space, you got to remember he was playing 2 of the toughest positions and having to learn them on the fly. So I give him a pass on all the defensive mistakes.
I give him a pass too. I just
regret on the team too.
I'd give him a pass, too. I just want him in center field. I really don't want to move him around.
Roman Anthony's playing center field, so.
You can put Rafael in right field, too. Like, that's obviously, you need 2 center
no,
field.
And what do you do with Abreu? Yeah.
That's my whole point. That's why I don't think Teoscar
would fit. Well, Abreu's another lefty, so I don't – you got four lefties that you're trying to jam in there. I don't think Abreu's a factor at all. I think – in the DH spot, I think Teoscar versus Yoshida is the difference from possibly winning the division to the first or second wild card.
I think
Terry, the DH spot would be a
revolving position. You get rid of Yoshida and you give your position players a day off.
Guys, what about trying to trade for Suzuki or say a Suzuki from the Cubs and using some of your left-handed bats to go get him?
They just traded for Tucker.
I just don't think there's a spot for him. I don't think there's an everyday spot for an outfielder that we can get.
What I'm saying is if you included an Abreu in that deal or somebody that you could free up that spot and then be able to plug him in there, you wouldn't have that problem.
I mean, I would do it from our standpoint. I don't think the Cubs would want to do that after you traded for Kyle Tucker. Don't you? You don't really want to take...
Well, they traded Bellinger.
I know,
so,
but
I mean,
Suzuki's like, that's another right-handed guy. They need to kind of balance their order, their lineup out too. Like, so then they'd be lefty heavy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, they moved Bellinger, so who knows what's going through their head?
Yeah, they're all in. It's a little different than most.
I don't see Yoshida being valuable, being the streaky guy that he is, and that's only when he's facing lefties. So I don't care if, Teoscar's an everyday DH.
No, I don't either. They have to find a way to get rid of Yoshida. I just don't see any teams really jumping at the bit to do that. I would love
They're in two horrible positions with two contracts, both Bloom guys.
Like the Yoshida contracts
and
Albatross. And
Yoshida's killing them.
The fit.
I think you can get rid of Yoshida if you include a prospect. I hate to do it, but they might be able to do it that way.
I don't know, like a team like the A's. I know the A's need to like reach their salary floor to actually, not get any, penalties or whatever it is because they're moving to Vegas. Maybe you could like see what they're doing, but like I just don't know what you're going to have to eat money, which obvious. I mean, that's obvious. You're going to have to eat money, and it's. I would love to trade Yoshida. I just don't know the team. Like, what's the obvious like team out there that would make sense?
There is none. He has to demonstrate first that he's bounced back from the surgery. So you're looking at maybe there's like a 5% chance. Maybe at the end of spring training, he looks good. The metrics look okay. Another team has an injury to one of their lefties, maybe they'll take you.
Right, but the problem with that is free agency's dried up at that point, so then you miss out on, a Teoscar type if that's the case. So
that's a tough time frame.
It's just
I would get him for now and put him in the outfield for now, but then when Anthony's ready, that's when the Yoshida decision has to happen.
I really don't dislike Yoshida. I just hate the fit. Like that's the thing. I don't hate the player. The fit makes no sense. It's just
if he was a right-handed bat, I would be way more chill.
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
same. I agree.
But
I think so too. Yep.
Yeah. Because he gets on base, he doesn't strike out. That's nice. Because that was a problem with our lineup last year. A lot of strikeouts, and it's like I feel like Yoshida's like the one guy that right now even so it's like okay, well, not the one guy.
But yeah, but his issue
guys,
is
you don't have to worry about striking out all the time.
Yeah, so instead he rolls over to second, causes you double play.
But, like, when you're, like, striking out at the rate this team was in the second half and down the road.
Oh, granted. No, listen, I hear you on that point.
And he's a statue
but...
on the base pads. So if you're trying to use the athletic ability, allegedly, of the team, he is killing.
No, I agree. He's an awful fit, and it's – I just wish we could trade him. I just don't know what team would want him, and I just don't see them DFAing him. Like, if they DFA'd him, that'd be like a big boy, like, flex your muscles, team type move. That'd be great, but I just, with the way our front office and our ownership, I mean, that'd be shock me if they did that.
Yeah, see, I don't even think, this type of stuff is all above front office. This isn't front office going cheap on everything.
They would just be shocked if they just DFA'd him outright, and I wouldn't hate it, because it means, like, okay, they got a plan, but...
Have they ever DFA'd a Scott Boras client?
Probably not, because in the days when we were all there, they were we were actually bringing in elite talent, not garbage.
I don't really think they've DFA'd a Boras guy. I don't think.
Jim Bradley, I guess, but
yeah, but it wasn't this like 3 years, 18 AAV remaining. You know what I mean? Different.
I just don't know if they want to slap in a face to Boras in that way. I don't know how all that would live in their world.
Like, that's the problem with this free agency class too. Is like, okay, it's just the obvious. We know the two obvious fit is DH and second base. It's kind of the two places that we could add that right-handed bat. So it's
I just don't understand the just instant gloss. I think Campbell is the best player in the farm.
We haven't seen it yet. And I just like I think what they need is a sure thing because I think
how long do you want to be in the farm system then?
He's not 26 years old. He's still
right, but you're looking around at teams that have guys that are all stars and Gold Glove players that are 20 years old.
Campbell can also play left field and center field. He's not just a pure second.
Yeah, but what good does that do you? You have Roman Anthony. You have all these outfielders you just told me about. Why do I need to put him in the outfield?
I'm just saying you could. You just talk about versatility. He can play other positions too.
He's at second base. Start him
right.
There. And like,
well, how about let's just forward. Use this argument. Trevor Story will be hurt by what? April 4th?
I hope he's hurt before preseason.
I'm just saying. So like,
training camp.
So he's hurt by April 4th anyway. He just move. You don't worry about it. Campbell can play shortstop too.
I think I think Story's going to be fine. Arm injury, that's behind him.
Are they playing? Are the Red Sox playing their home games at Coors Field this year?
Trevor Story already has a hospital bed.
All I'm saying is, though, when you look at right now the top three right-handed batters in our lineup right now is Trevor Story, Connor Wong, and Rafaela. That makes me sick.
Horrendous.
They need That's a right-handed disgusting. Power bat, and I don't care who it is. Like, Bregman is the guy I prefer just because he also makes contact. He doesn't strike out much. He can use that monster. I think, you know, Bregman and Fenway would rake. But again, if you don't want Bregman, is Santander and Teoscar are the only two other options, really?
I don't want Santander.
So it's just like,
I think everybody's making this way harder than it needs to be. You just put Teoscar in left, you put Campbell at second, roll it out there, and let's go. And then
he's the interchangeable guy, and then Rafael is your insurance for the infield anywhere.
Rafael would be the best utility guy in baseball. You could put him at second, short, right and center. He could literally be a utility guy and still play 120 games a year.
Now, one quick thing though, can I bring this one point up with Bregman? I know they're saying that on the, you know, maybe to stay in the good graces of Devers. Do we think it's also a distinct possibility that if they do sign Bregman that like they'd be like, Rafi, you're going to DH now. Bregman's our third baseman.
I don't think so. All the rhetoric, like Cora will take bullets for Devers. All the quotes I've seen in the last year, he's not ready to give up on Devers. And let me just say this about Devers. Say what you want about the defense, okay? He's a Husky guy. He got that $300 million contract. He didn't go to the buffet tables. No. He shows up to every camp ready to go. So with his level of commitment, it's not a lack of effort. So I can't take it from him.
I think
at
he's
26
lazy.
Years old.
No, I don't.
I think he's kind of lazy.
I don't think so.
I see him a lot. He's kind of lazy.
When he makes errors, he's so mad at himself. Like he's the most furious person on the field.
I think he brings it to the plate, which again, this is why I want him just to DH because.
Correct.
He has those errors, and all of a sudden he brings it to the plate, and then he's thinking too much about the defense, and it's just like, let's just make focus on hitting, because that's what we want him to do anyway. So that's my whole thing, and that's why I don't want him to play at first base, because at that point, if you're moving him off there, just make him the DH, and just end it.
What's crazy is every conversation you have, you no matter how you come back to it, it all ends at fucking Yoshida's doorstep.
It sure
it's
does.
Fucking amazing. No matter how you... And I don't disagree with any of the ideas we talked about. It all falls back to fucking Yoshida. It is unbelievable.
Anything on Teoscar, anything on Bregman, anything on Campbell, everything always comes back to Yoshida.
You could even do this. You could put Bregman at second if that's what people want to do. I don't know why, but you could put Campbell at third. You go get Teoscar. You just added three right-handed bats, and you're still stuck with fucking Yoshida. It's fucking amazing. Like, this guy is like a pain in the fucking ass. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
He blocks every fucking thing you're actually trying to do.
Yep. And he hurts you from getting better.
Yep. Can't play defensively.
That's why DFAing him is more reasonable than you think. It gets rid of the headache.
Yep.
You just have to take the L. You know?
I think it's very reasonable, Terry.
Your lineup gets way better, way more streamlined. And yeah. Getting back to Story real quick, though, the elbow was a wear and tear thing, you know, and it happens to position players. The only injury he's ever had is that shoulder injury. So I'm not.
Yeah, but he's nicked up a lot. And
he's played 163 games in 3 years.
Yeah, he's a Coors Field hero. He's one of those guys. That's why nobody else in baseball wanted him, including the Texas Rangers when he was a free agent. He just can't. He can't hit breaking balls. It's just that simple.
He's a terrible. I hate him at the plate. I mean, he's a strikeout machine. His plate discipline is bad. There's just so much bad about him.
Between him and Yoshida, you're so screwed with both of them.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Because there's no way he's opting out of his contract. I can tell you that. No fucking way is he going to opt out. There's no one else who's going to pay him.
Well, we got him for three more years.
Oh, yeah, because he's not going anywhere.
Yeah. There's any type of trade you could do with Casas? Like, does anything make sense? You're not in the starting pitching market anymore, but...
You want to really go all balls out? Casas and two prospects, go get Vlad.
It might cost a little bit more than that, but I would do that.
Yep, and then sign him to a contract.
And then lock him in.
Have a negotiating right at the time of the trade.
Here's an interesting thing. So, Vladimir rejected a $340 million extension, and I get it. And he cited the Ohtani and the Soto deals as reasons why. But he also, I know Pete Alonso isn't nearly as good, but his market's going to tank. So I just don't know that there's going to be a massive market for a first baseman. They're saying 500 and maybe he gets it, but I don't know that it's a guarantee that he gets it.
Who, Vlad?
Yeah, first basemen just don't get paid.
I tell that to Jim all the time. First baseman's not a marketable position anymore.
But for a guy of his talent and his abilities,
I don't think he gets more than 450, to be honest with you.
I was going to say 5. That's what I was going to say.
I don't think he goes that high.
Yeah, guys, I got to get going. I'm sorry. I only had like an hour, so I got to get going. I apologize, but it was good talking to everybody.
Yeah, you too, bro.
All right, guys,
Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, Doug. Christmas.
Have a good one, everyone.
You too, man.
Right, and Vladimir said also that he's giving Toronto until pitchers and catchers reporting to get that deal done if they intend to do it. So I just wonder if there'll be a spring training trade then.
Yeah, I think they're going to rebuild
something of that big nature. I don't think you want to have that as a spring training trade. You want to set the parameters during the full off season.
Yeah, because Toronto's going to have to max out on the return.
I think Casas and Abreu are a great foundation for that trade. And I would have never said this a year ago, but I'd put Bayo in that deal.
Bayo or Hauk, one or the other.
Oh, I'm not getting rid of Hauk. No, I can't do that. That's the one guy. He could be our John Lester guy and three or four years. That's obviously setting the bar high, but I think he's got a lot of upside.
I do too. He stays healthy and he builds.
What about Casas, Abreu, and Cutter Crawford?
You could put Cutter in the deal, but I think you'd have to put one more prospect in there. Not one of your big three.
Fine,
but
put Mickey Romero.
Okay. Yeah, that would work.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll tip
it. That's great for Toronto because it doesn't close their window. It kind of extends it now, and then maybe they flip Bichette at the deadline for one or two top end guys, and they're back. And they have a window, and they can spend next winter. And
you're giving them a Major League Baseball first baseman and right fielder. You got a minor league infielder in Romero, and then you've got a starter in Crawford. They're going to wind up losing a couple guys, I think, are free agents at the end of the year, too. Bassett, and I think, is a free agent. So, yeah, I mean, it would be a good move for them, especially if they're looking at Vladimir and saying they're going to lose him. At that point, you have to say, we'll take what we can get.
Who's going to give them a better package also?
Nobody.
Who's even in the market? I mean, if first base was such a huge market, I think we would have dealt Casas by now. So I just think we're the perfect dance partner. They probably wouldn't be crazy about dealing him in the division, but we've got the best expendable pieces to give them. And
there's no other big market team or even middle market team that could have really make that trade based on their, their roster and flexibility and the money that it would take to retain him too.
Right.
I mean, the Yankees got Goldschmidt. Granted, it's only 1 year, but they're technically out of the first base game right now, you know, and of course LA doesn't need one. Philly doesn't need one. So there's very few big market teams that would.
Atlanta is out on that as well. Yeah.
They got Olsen.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it makes too much sense, but I don't know. I'll tell you what, though. I don't like the way that whole Seattle thing was executed. I mean, targeting Castillo, I just think that's bad value. Not expecting them to take on all of Yoshida's contract after shoulder surgery is just delusional. It's hard for Breslow to win me over. You know, I'm trying to say nice things and I'm trying to stay optimistic, but it's going to take a while for him to really win me over.
I mean, he's been more effective than Bloom so far, you know, in terms of at least the, you know, major league roster. I mean, you know, granted, Bloom had some, you know, draft picks, but, you know, as far as the major league roster is concerned, he's made some better headway, I think.
Yeah, well, last year's moves, too, were all guys that were going to lose. I mean, everybody got all excited when they said, oh, he's making moves, he's making moves. He really didn't do anything. He just moved guys that were going to be going anyways. So he has been a little more aggressive this year. I'm still not sold on him, to be honest with you. Really not. But yeah, hopefully we're wrong.
I just invited Husky to speak. He was like a spitfire like three spaces ago. I don't know if he's paying attention.
Well, guys, I got an early morning, so I'm going to head off as well. So Merry Christmas and everybody, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
You got it.
All right. Charlie.
Terry, so you and I are in agreement on that. I just think they're way overthinking all this. Just go get Hernandez and let's go.
Yeah. I mean, you can move him back and forth from DH to the outfield, and and then look at the lineup. I mean, how does the lineup look at that point? You obviously have Duran at the top, probably Devers at second. Then you'd have Teoscar hitting behind him, and who's next? Probably what, Cotton? I'm missing someone. I guess Casas would hit four. Oh, I think I lost Charlie. But Husky, if...
yeah, thanks. And
yeah, go ahead.
I do. So I'm actually not disappointed with the latest moves. I mentioned, I think, last time I spoke, we needed two guys at the top of rotation. I'm a little bit lukewarm but cautiously optimistic on Buehler just because, you know, guys coming off injury in the first full year usually takes a little time. So he's had some time. We'll see. Crochet, I think we overpaid, but whatever. You needed the arm because you, for some reason, are against drafting pitching. So, again, is what it is. You overpay for that stuff. As far as the lineup goes, Casas drives me nuts. Like, I think he's bad for the clubhouse. He's got talent, but I don't know if the talent overweighs the, like, insanity that he might bring and drive into guys' heads over a long season that can be grueling. So I'm all for moving him. Again, I just don't want to overpay for – I get the guy's a great first baseman, great hitter, all that stuff in Vlad Jr., but, man, I don't want to give up all the chips for one guy and then, what, whip out $500 million? And I don't think they'll do it just for that reason because they're not going after the big dollars. Like, we saw that, right? We saw they didn't sign Soto. They didn't go after any of the big money guys. They went short, cheap reclamation project again with Buehler on a show-me deal. They went for an overpay with prospects to get a guy so they can probably see what he does for a year and then put themselves in a corner like they always do and have to either overpay when they want to keep him like they did for Stale, or they'll do something stupid and let him, you know, walk for nothing like we did with what's the name to San Diego. So it's just brutal. Like, it's kind of brutal all around, but the lineup wasn't really the problem last year. It was the pitching. I think this affords us the opportunity to move Whitlock and some different pieces down into the bullpen. Maybe they even sign another bullpen arm. I hate the guy they picked up already. I'm so dead set against putting him at the back of the rotation with, you know, an explosive whip. I'm sure he'll give us Kimbrel palpitations when he's walking the bases loaded. So I don't know. I'll pause there and let me know what you think, Terry.
What's your thought, Husky? Why do you think it was an overpay for Kershaw?
I mean, they gave him what, number 3, 5, 11, and 14, and one of them was Kyle Teal. So I think any deal that came with Kyle Teal, Roman Anthony, or maybe Christian Campbell, but really Teal and Anthony, I feel like those two guys especially, I mean, when do you really see a Buster Posey type, a Yadier Molina type? I mean, these guys are generational. An offensive catcher, a guy you can put in the middle of your lineup who does damage. You just don't see it. And we struggled, and everyone was so hot and bothered. Oh, Wong. He's hitting. He hit for a month. Then he was a bum, and he's a bum behind the plate. So, like, the delta between the levels of talent is so astronomical that I'm just really not in favor of that deal.
Have you ever seen Kyle Teal play?
Yeah, I saw him play in Worcester.
Okay. What do you think of him behind the plate? Because he's not very good.
No. So behind the plate, here's the thing. This is what I'll say. If you're that good offensively, I'll give you a little grace behind the plate, right? And at that age, I mean, he's super young. You can work with a guy. Connor Wong is not a 21 or 22-year-old, right? He's been around. You're not going to all of a sudden improve. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. See, I'm one of those. I see he actually swings one of the bats I rep. So, I'm not sure Teal is built to be an everyday catcher. I think he's way too small, to be honest with you. Defensively, he's terrible. Terrible. I would rather have a guy who could just go back there and catch the ball. I don't care if he hits 220.
So if you have the right lineup, I don't disagree. But let's be honest, Charlie, were you saying this 6 months ago, 12 months ago, about how, you know, you're all of a sudden got these trepidations about him? I don't remember. If you did, God bless.
Yeah,
I don't remember hearing anyone say he's not going to make it as a catcher. And also, I think his offense is going to be not as good as it's cracked up to be.
Actually going to be fine. Defensively, he wasn't great coming out of college. He's very, very small back there. Again, I think he would be a guy that would probably be moved out of there in a couple of years, like a Biggio type, because he's not big enough for the pounding.
That might be, and I hope we get a Dave Dombrowski where every guy he traded away, none of them came back to bite us, and it was only positive.
Well, longer than that. I mean, we really, if you have to go back, I mean, all the way from Theo's era, I mean, I can't remember the last time the Red Sox lost a trade.
I mean, I have to really think about it, but
Jeff
Bagwell is probably the only one that jumps out at you. But
I used to watch Bagwell play up in Buffalo, and Bagwell pre-steroid wasn't a highly rated prospect.
No, he wasn't. But I mean, you do business of being done. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, well.
But anyway, I get your point. Mine was more so I would have rather saw them try and get like a Scooble or just some. I don't know. I'm just, again, Crochet's got one full year with good production.
Oh, yeah.
And I think half one. Yeah, but he was a reliever year, if I remember before
he's
that.
He's got half a season of being top notch.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit worried because we're kind of in a position right now where you almost are forced to sign him now without really having the data points on him. And I don't like that. Like, I just personally don't like that.
The big thing with him is 6'6", 250, huge makeup. Those types of guys normally don't break down. I think I like the sign. I like the trade a lot. I think
we can
get a front of the line possible ace. Like, to me, there's aces and there's number ones. He's got ace potential, not a number one. He's an ace. It's every trade is high risk, high reward, you know?
But, yeah, sure. So here's what I'll say, and it kind of goes back to us not drafting pitching. we have to overpay every time to get that player.
I said
right?
that earlier. I don't know if you were on, but under Bloom, they never drafted Arms, and you're paying for it now.
And exactly. And here's the other thing. If in an all things normal scenario, all things equal, and going back, let's say if we were to have this conversation starting 5 years ago and then going backwards, I'd say, who cares? Blow out the system because you know what? We just reload, we re-sign, we do whatever we got to do. We open the pocketbooks and go wild.
Yeah,
but this team, because they don't, they're not going – like if this is a miss and they empty the system out in this net, they're just going to wait again, and we're all going to be stuck here in the malaise for another 5 years of a rebuild or whatever. Yeah, and that's the only thing that makes me, like, go bananas.
Yeah, they're just in a position, though, if they're not going to spend, they have to move prospects to get a kid like this who they could have under control. Even if they give him a five-year deal with a couple year odds options for seven, he's still going to be way underpaid compared to what the market's going to be. You know, as far as everyone else in the pick, I mean, everybody's like heartbroken. No, Montgomery, you know, the kid never played a game here. So, like, let's
No, I'm not heartbroken. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying he was
another left-handed outfielder. Teal's another left-handed hitter.
Yeah.
That's the other problem,
too. That's another
every
thing.
Guy is left-handed.
Why are we so excited about lefties and then we don't deal any of them?
Yeah. You got to, you know, Terry and I were talking when him and I first met maybe 2 years ago. And you could already see it happening. Everybody coming was left-handed. You could already see it. You know, and it's at the point now where you got guys that are blocked because of like a Yoshida, another left-handed bat, you know, and it's, you know, they have to blow some of these guys out just to clear it out. Because if you look at the outfield, it comes down to Montgomery or Anthony, both left-handed. So you pick, obviously you got to keep the better one. You know, it's just everybody's left-handed. I've never seen anything like it.
Here's the thing. Like, I don't even care so much, to be honest with you. I don't care if we had nine left-handers. If they could all hit, I don't care, right? I mean, the problem is I feel like we get guys who might be good from the left side, and you're going to face righties more often, but they can't hit lefties. If you like, I always
most
go back
lefties
to Troy.
Most really struggle against lefties.
Yeah, and I get that. I mean, we should be just drafting righties then, because you go back to and I'm going to use a comparison of a guy who's a Hall of Famer, right? Troy Tulowitzki. He was probably career, 320, 330 hitter or something. But he hit over 300 against righties, and then he crushed lefties. It didn't matter.
You don't see the big difference righty-righty, though, because they don't have the arm slot. It's all about the arm slot the lefty comes at you with. You know, the righties.
It's almost as
really
dumb then as not – it's almost as dumb as not drafting pitchers then. Like, what's the most valuable commodity? What are we always trying to get? And what do we say these guys could rake for? It's always starting pitching. Like, the Seattles of the world, all these teams that draft pitchers, Atlanta's good at it. Like, I don't get it. Tampa. And also, philosophically, again, why don't we, instead of paying all these guys overpaying guys, just say we're going to offer every Tampa scout 4X your pay. 4X. And then you'll take them all, and it'll be worth like $5 million because they get paid shit.
Yeah.
Like that would be the move. Not go get any of these other GMs. There's no geniuses anywhere. It's probably the guys who can actually locate and evaluate the talent. Just pay them, instead of paying them $75,000, pay them each $300,000. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's such a lower cost of doing business than overpaying some guy $10 million more per year per position.
No, I agree. But, I mean, the Red Sox do have, like, 9,000 front office employees. So, you know, I think their biggest problem was just they're way too analytical. Like, it's just – that's the biggest problem.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm waiting for the next move because I don't know. And that next move might not even be this year. I'm just saying in general, they need some real overhauling. Like – I worry about – the story was trending down 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I don't think
– there's a reason nobody else wanted him when he was a free agent. I mean, his hometown didn't want him.
So that's a hole, right? And then you got a million left-handers in the outfield. That's awesome. So I don't know. I mean, we're – like, now I worry about us going in the other direction when we finally have pitching. And I'm also worried about them giving up Cutter Crawford and some of our pitching depth, Richard Fitz, these guys who – guess what? They're going to have to come up at some point during the year. And if we can bring them up for a spot start here or there or three or four, it's a lot better than all the other slapdicks they've been running up from AAA or scrap heap guys or Rich Hill when he's 55 years old.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like that's the other thing that worries me. Oh, we got all these extra pitchers. So we'll We'll fill in the bullpen with starting pitchers that we don't quote unquote need. And come July, guess what we're going to need?
Yep.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Just so one of the things they probably look at, and you know, I'm not a big analytics guy, but Duran hits 255 with a 319 on base against lefties. Now that sounds pretty good, but his power numbers are way down.
Way down.
Only four of his 25 home runs came from, you know, that's the, you know, pitchers pitching from that side. On the upside, Roman Anthony has reverse splits. He this past season he hit 316 against lefties, 284 against righties. Obviously still respectable, and then an on base just over four against lefties and just under four against righties.
Well, that's another argument too, Terry, for anti-Bregman. He does not hit lefties.
Oh no.
No, his numbers against lefties are terrible.
Oh, I didn't even dive into that yet. And he's a dead ball hitter too.
I want nothing to do with that guy. I'm sorry. I want nothing to do with a guy you're going to have to give 5 years to, a bunch of money, who's been trending down, and he's just going to be another, you know, Trevor Story, not on the injury side, but where they say, well, we can't move on from him because we owe him $26, $28, $29 million a year, and you're just stuck with another bad contract.
Terry and I agree with that.
Yeah, I feel like there would definitely be some remorse in year three. Of a Bregman deal. The biggest upside is he would shore up the defense a little bit, but aside from that, I mean, you need someone who's going to be feared on that side of the plate, and we just don't have it. Connor Wong is your best right-handed hitter.
Yeah, he is.
And that's not – I'm hoping Rafaela makes that jump this year, but, you know, that remains to be seen. But, yeah, so – Teoscar to me is the slam dunk guy, and I think the first team that goes to him with a 3-year $60 million deal, I think that gets it done.
Yeah, it's
why don't we ever make the sensible move? It's so sensible
because
guess what?
Because
it'll never happen
because everything's analytic driven, and you know, you've got to jump over dollars to pick up dimes. That's what the Red Sox do. It's just it's dumb. It really is dumb. You can have two right-handed power bats by signing just Teoscar. You put Campbell at second. Let's go play baseball.
Yeah. It's a short deal, and the money's not big. It's another one of these ones where, again, July, August, when you start to see any lead that you have slipping away or playoff hopes or whatever, or you lose five in a row, you're like, if we had just made that move, we would have won three of those last five that we lost.
Yeah.
We'd be one game out of the playoff or one game in the playoff instead of six games back. It's just tough to make you bang your head off a wall.
Oh, it does.
So can the Red Sox win the division right now?
No.
It's close to me. I wouldn't say yes, but I think it's close. I think we win 90 games.
Who's playing left field right now for us?
Duran.
Rafaela in center.
And then this moment, you've got a platoon in right with Abreu and Ref Snyder, which I don't hate, but I mean, it's not what you want. It's not the step forward that we were hoping for.
Yeah, I don't think you have enough thump, and you're still horrible defensively.
I think the front end of that Yankees rotation is going to be really formidable, especially in the regular season, and they're going to get to around 100 wins, I bet.
100?
Around there, it might be 95 to 100. I just, in the regular season, you look at how these things stack up. If you have two big dogs at the front and the rest kind of fill in, you only got to win one of the back three, and they're not terrible.
No,
and they have enough two pitches to win in that part.
We got to see if they're the big dogs first. We're not really sure yet. So, you know,
to me, it's offense with the Yankees. That's the big question for me. They have the pitching. They're gonna. They got a bunch of guys to figure it out. But. Let me ask this. I mean, who's going to the World Series on the AL side?
That's the thing. I agree. That's the crapshoot, and it's so easy to get there. I mean, you heard Joe Kelly say the Yankees were the worst team they played all the way through the playoffs. You know, it's like, and I'll be honest with you.
That's what also will pitch us off as Red Sox fans even more, because You could have had it last year. You could have it this year. Just make a couple sensible moves, and you're probably right there.
Yeah, they are.
It's been so self-inflicted. Yeah.
It is. It is. I mean, yeah. Baltimore doesn't know how to win yet, you know, and, yeah, it's so wide open.
The Royals could be a really good team if they would just add a couple bats.
Yeah.
I don't know why they – what the problem is there.
I personally think they have the best player in baseball, to be honest with you, too.
Bobby Witt?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'd still put Soto above him, but...
Soto's a one-tool player, though, Terry.
Well, he's not a defender, for sure, yeah.
Bobby Witt's playing the most important position on the field. Offensively, he's not that far away, and he's making $288 million compared to $800 million.
Yeah, he's probably regretting the, you know,
him, Acuna,
that deal done.
you could have Mookie Betts, Acuna, and Bobby Witt and make less than Soto.
Yeah. Yeah, you could.
Yeah, the Soto thing, like, I wanted them here because this whole franchise is, like, so dead. Like, I thought they needed, like, he could have gave them that, like, shot of energy because of the name. As an everyday player, though, I mean – you know, they had to move Aaron Judge out of right field because, you know, Soto was terrible and had to play there. So, you know, I don't know. He's, like, I remember Manny Ramirez, you know. Soto's not even close to what Manny Ramirez was as a player. Like, not even close.
I think he can get there. I mean, he's only 26 or 27. I mean, if he sustains this, then...
Yeah, but Manny's numbers and his are, like, almost identical at that age. Like, Manny was so fucking good. Like, people forget how good he was, you know?
He was.
And I think Manny's a better outfielder than Soto. I do. I do.
Well, the bar's pretty low, I would say.
Yeah.
As far as that goes.
But, I mean, Manny was so good. It was incredible.
The thing with Soto to me is I wasn't, like, gung-ho for him, but we needed a narrative-changing move, and that's what it was to me.
Me too.
So we didn't get it, but the Crochet deal kind of did that because that was your most significant trade since 2016 with Sale.
Yep.
So that was nice. And
you just need that everyday player, you know? Like, you're like I want to go see that guy play today. You know, they don't have that.
But it didn't change the narrative, Terry. It still did because the narrative is they won't come out of pocket, and they still haven't come out of pocket, right? So – the narrative is still there. And I'll tell you, there's one move they could make, the organization, but the owner would have to do it. John Henry, the only owner who could do it. It would be the most important, impactful, and positive move ever, and that would be firing Sam Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Why would he fire Sam Kennedy when Sam Kennedy is only telling him what he wants him to say? Like,
yeah, I mean, like, I think he does.
Do you think Sam Kennedy goes up there and talks money without John Henry's okay?
No. So hear me out on this. I think Sam Kennedy is given a lot more of the reins than people may know or whatever as far as the baseball operations, as that's Larry exactly Lucchino was kind of given a lot of it, where he may have to get final sign-off on, let's say, a Soto, but organizationally, as far as, like, your North Star and your ethos and your guiding light and how you're going to run things, that's Sam Kennedy, and this is what we've gotten since he's been in charge, and it's gross and it's terrible.
Yeah, I think he's only operating the way he's told to.
But also
I think he has more to do with it than you think. Like, I think Henry stepped back a bit, and I'm just saying he was ever, like, fully into it. He may have, you know, said, hey, Theo, go, you know, win us something, or yeah, you can spend this, or you can spend that, but, and the same thing with Double D, but I think that Sam Kennedy, as, you know, whatever percentage he owns, has been given the reins to kind of do as he sees fit. Now,
I think the point you're missing, and a lot of Red Sox fans are, when it comes to hammering them, they're not in the business of winning baseball anymore. And as a baseball fan and somebody that works in the industry, it's devastating growing up a fan knowing, like, they're not in the business of winning anymore. They're in the business of the four corners of Fenway. They don't give a shit if you go there to watch the Red Sox or not, because Fenway Park is the attraction. So if they can cut their payroll, for example, last year, team's revenue. They spent 40% of their revenue on payroll. Do you know where that ranked in baseball?
Oh, probably the bottom third.
27th.
Yeah.
Okay. For example, the New York Mets spent 101% of their revenue. So that's how far away you are. So he's filling out the ballpark every day. They're getting $33,000, $35,000 every night. People are spending $17 for a beer. The whole Fenway area is turned into basically, and it's under construction now, the four corners of Fenway. It's going to be a year-round entertainment complex. They just don't
have- Real quick, though, on Kennedy, though, Husky was kind of getting to it. When Breslow was hired, he was told point blank, you're keeping all my boys. You're not getting rid of O'Halloran. You're not getting rid of Romero. You're not getting rid of Pereira. You're not even getting rid of Alex Cora.
Right. Well,
I'm keeping my boys.
Well, he comes in.
That's Sam Kennedy, though. That's not John Henry.
I think John has a lot to do with that. You know, and I've said to you before, I think they need to nuke the entire thing. Anyone who was any good under Theo is going on their own somewhere. What you have left is the scraps. I mean, everybody loves some of these guys, and I'm like, I don't know what you're seeing, because there really hasn't been a whole lot of big time production up here.
I don't know anyone who loves them, and all these guys who are still around who've been there for a long time.
Yeah, they need
a change. Nobody comes calling for them, so they're bums.
Yeah, nobody. That again, it's easy there because winning's not the top priority. Okay, I was up there at times where Larry Lucchino would walk in the office and after. Like losing two games early. Like, are we going to make a fucking move today? They don't have that anymore. The owner doesn't have that fire. They've rebuilt Fenway. They've done everything. They've won four world titles. Fenway's on the historic register. They've done everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, as soon as they put it on the historic register, that was it. As soon as they got it there and they could get away from the taxes and everything, that park, whatever, it's a mausoleum, it's a museum. Let's go and buy all the crap, and who cares what's in there?
It's all revenue. You know, you got concerts and events year-round in there now. It's all revenue. Baseball is not the number one priority there anymore. It really isn't.
Bloom was the only guy. Kennedy was the only guy conducting the search, and Bloom was the only guy he spoke with, and then that didn't work.
That's because Theo told him they're Bloom. Theo and Bloom are very close.
That's the only guy. I mean, Theo was still with the Cubs at that point, leading that front office. So, but getting back to it though, and then the second time comes around, we need another chief baseball officer. Nobody wanted to talk to Sam Kennedy. They all told him to go pound sand. So this will be my final thought on this. Someday the Sam Kennedy era will end.
Oh, it will.
It could be 2 years from now. It could be a decade and a half from now. But we're gonna hear stories.
Oh, you definitely
know stuff's gonna get leaked about how bad it really was. And I think he's gonna be the cancer. He's the common denominator of all the failure.
I agree with that in somewhat, but it's interesting when your in-house people didn't want to apply for the position either. You know, I think that speaks volumes when you're already there and you don't even want to interview for it. Because they know the commitment isn't the same. To me, it all comes back to commitment. You know, if you worked for the organization for 20 years, you know, and you get interviewed to be the president of the baseball, you have a chance to be the president of the baseball ops, and you don't even want to interview. And you come up with an excuse like, well, you know, I don't want to put my family through it. You know, you've been there for 20 years. Family's already there. You know,
they got to figure they know it's 2 years and they'll get blown out.
Yeah, they're going to get 3-4, you know. But it all starts at the top. When the top is lazy, when the head of the snake is dying, everything else goes with it. There's no commitment. You know, I'm up there for, unfortunately, 70 games a year, okay? John's there like 3 games a year. You know, I mean, Larry Lucchino died. They had the little thing in the pregame with him and Wakefield. John wasn't even fucking there. You know, it's like he's not there anymore. He doesn't care. You know, Tom's very seldom there. You know, they're an older group of gentlemen. They've made a ton of money on it. And let's face it, their focus is now in Vegas because they're getting the next NBA franchise because of LeBron. You know, so their focus has shifted. Fenway Sports Group and everything is funded by the Red Sox, but their focus has shifted. There'll be an NBA owner in 2 or 3 years when they do the expansion. They have the basketball team, the red, you know, they'll have the hockey team. They got Liverpool. They got the race team. They're all just commodities now. It's not the same. No, you've won.
I agree with that, though, with Henry. The passion is gone, and it's a business now, like what you're saying. And my
favorite bottom line now.
Exactly. My favorite John Henry story, two of them actually, this was before the flip happened, but we were the defending champs going into 2014, and it was spring training, and we were going to the Marlins complex.
Yep.
And the Marlins marketed it as if to say the world champion Red Sox are coming, and they were just hoping to profit off of us and their stadium. And we sent like the C squad that day for some reason. And so the Marlins, one of their executives said the Red Sox should be ashamed at the roster they sent. And then John Henry publicly quoted as saying, well, the Marlins should be ashamed of their major league roster, you know? And I'm like, man, at that time, I'm like, that is my owner. And
he was also the same guy that put a team together to win a World Series with the Marlins. And then the year later, sold everybody. So, you know, he's
97.
Yeah, he's a different kind of guy. Like I said, he's in his 70s now. You know, I just don't think the drive is there. And when you don't have like that drive coming down from above, you know, everybody else just gets lapsed. You know, doesn't matter. Like
here's the real scary thing. How bad does Linda want to win? You know, when she gets
probably
the
less.
She's 20 years younger than him, maybe the kids will be in charge. Who knows? That'll be a good thing. Yeah.
I mean, I still think Theo takes over it someday. But you want to talk about like revenue, like how much they make? Like people have like no concept. Like a pallet of beer, okay? Like the stupid ass bottle of like Bud Light they sell there. Do you know how much the Red Sox profit on a bottle on a pallet of beer? You know how much that one pallet of beer makes them?
$20,000.
$77,000 on one pallet of beer.
Wow.
Okay. The Fenway.
Well, Jesus, practice. Who knows what they're making off of the keg each time they sell a keg? Because I know I think we pay like what $17-$18 in the stand.
But that's even cheaper. You know, and then you got like Fenway Franks, for example. Okay, KM donates them to the Red Sox. That way, KM doesn't have to pay for advertisement fees. So KM's deal is the hot dogs are free and the advertisement's free. Every nickel on a hot dog goes right into their pocket. I mean, they are just raking in the dough. You know, and they're just not putting it out. You know, it's just not going to change. And, you know, it's like you say, well, you know, I'm not going to go and watch it. Well, okay, the visiting team's coming and their fans are watching. And I mean, the Mets series this year was like unbelievable. I thought I was at Citi Field.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So if you, because I appreciate you guys taking, I know you know the other teams in the division quite well and their moves and whatnot. Who do you think, if anyone, got worse in our division enough to Baltimore. Make it a difference against us? Like, you know, Baltimore, I'm guessing they're going to lose Corbin Burns, but like what other moves have they made where they went from like way better than us to, you know.
I think New York's a lot better.
Better. I'm saying worse, though.
Oh, worse? Baltimore. That would be probably it. I mean, I can't see Toronto, if they keep Bichette and Vlad, I can't see them being as bad this year as they were last year. Tampa Bay had pretty much every pitcher on their team on the injured list last year. I think the only team that probably takes a step back would be Baltimore, and that's only because of Burns. What do you think, Ter?
Yeah, I don't have their rotation up in front of me, but they're just so balanced, you know, all across their major league roster, and they've got other prospects in the pipeline. Not pitching, though, but they're kind of like us. You know, they've got a lot of positional player prospects, but
I thought that was the only battle to get Crochet would have been Baltimore.
They certainly had the capital. Yeah, there was one other team that wanted him bad that could have got it.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, yeah. Yeah, I'm pulling up the Orioles depth chart right now. I know they've got, like, Kramer.
Their position players like Oz and.
Oh, so they're actually in decent shape. They've got Zach Eflin, Grayson Rodriguez, Dean Kramer, like I said. Yep. That Albert Suarez guy kind of was snuck a revelation up last year.
Yeah.
And then they got that Japanese guy that kind of flew under the radar, Sagano. Yeah. So I don't – maybe he could have – he's not going to be like a Yamamoto type guy, but like the guy the Cubs signed, you can have a – you know,
let me tell you what a pickup he was at $45 million
or trade for one. So
yeah, and again, I think the longer Burns sits out there, the better chances he could come back.
You can make a case for just about every team to win 90. I'm more skeptical on Toronto than you are because I just think things are so stale there. But Tampa's getting all their arms back. Like,
yeah,
McClanahan's going to be pitching this year.
Yeah,
they got. Well, they traded Springs, actually, but
their pitching staff last year looked like our second base position. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. You know, it's just I don't think the American League is great. You know, so that's a big plus. You get in the tournament, you got a shot. So we'll see.
Yeah,
but
go ahead.
No, I just think if you get Teoscar and Campbell plays, I think you win the division. To me, that's just so fucking annoying that they're not doing that.
And with Anthony coming up too, you just need that right-handed bat to slot into either the two or three spot there. But yeah, I'm
going
to wrap on this, guys. We're pushing the 90-minute mark, but I appreciate you guys coming in.
No problem. Terry, you guys...